1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that as we look at our companionship responsibilities, that you would please, Lord, use the Word of God to teach us, help us to be what we ought to be. Thank you for the plain teaching of the Scriptures. The Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I would pray, Lord, that we would, of course, rightly divide the Scriptures tonight as we look at it and study it. And, Lord, we pray, dear God, for good guidance, Lord, from your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we not just learn some things. Lord, may we learn to apply the things that we've learned, incorporate them into our every single day life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're talking about responsibilities of companionship here. We taught on responsibilities of leadership. We taught on responsibilities of fellowship. Now we're teaching on responsibilities of companionship. These are what I call the one another verses in the New Testament. Last week we looked at these admonitions: love one another, prefer one another, admonish one another, and forgive one another. Those are the four that we tackled last week. This week I want to talk to you about three, maybe four other ones, and then we may spend one more Wednesday night wrapping these things up. But we have been given through the Scriptures responsibilities as members of the local assembly. We have responsibilities one to another. These are not suggestions. These are commands of the Scriptures. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that if God commands something and we do not obey the command, I think there's a word for that, isn't there? Yes, it's called what?
Sin.
It's called sin. Now, we can all just say it together. Ready? One, two, three. It'd be good for us to acknowledge that out loud, that if God says to do something and we don't do it, that's a sin. If God says don't do something and we do it, that's a sin. The Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law. So if God gives a commandment, we ought to... That means it's a sin for you not to love your brother. Let's just get down where the rubber meets the road. I said it's a sin. And we sit around trying to justify it, but it's non-justifiable. It's a sin not to look around and love the brothers and sisters in the assembly. It's a sin not to prefer one another. It's a sin not to admonish one another. It's a sin not to forgive one another. And so these are the instructions we're given. Responsibilities that come with being part of a local assembly. Now, I read to you a verse here. Verse 26 says, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. It might surprise you to find out that in some form this command is repeated five different times in the Bible. I won't have you flip to every one. Let me read them to you. 1 Corinthians 16:20, all the brethren greet ye one another with an holy kiss. There's the one another phrase, greet ye one another with a holy kiss. Romans 16:16, salute one another with an holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with an holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, we read, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. And 1 Peter 5:14, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Now, I took you to this portion of Scripture just to represent the others. I think it's important that the Bible has commanded us, when it comes to all the brethren or one another, that part of our responsibility is to greet them with an holy kiss or a kiss of charity. Now, let me explain what that means, and we need to give some explanation here. In the Bible day, the custom at that time was if you came to somebody and met somebody, and they were beloved, they were a friend, they were brother in Christ, that you would greet them with a kiss. Now, if you'll study this custom, the men, I know this is a little weird if you're an American, okay? But the men would come, and by the way, there's many cultures that still practice this, that a normal way to greet someone who is beloved is to go up and to kiss them on one cheek or kiss them on both cheeks. In this time, it was always men that greeted men this way or ladies that greeted ladies this way. And so some of you teenagers that were excited a few minutes ago when you read the Scripture and thought, praise Jesus, I finally got justification. I've been wanting to kiss that girl for a long time. Now, sorry, you don't have any Bible basis. Just stay the course, brother. Follow the rules here and don't get yourself in trouble and then try to come in with a verse of Scripture in my office, okay? So But of course, and by the way, we some of you were with me when we flew down to Mexico and we took that missions trip. And the college students there at Brother Ashcraft's college came out, and the young ladies from the college came to our young ladies, and they said hi, and they reached over and kissed our girls on the cheeks. And then here comes some Mexican young men, and you got to understand, I got a bunch of redneck, Green County guys with me, and one of them leans over and says, one of those boys try to kick me, I'm going to punch him right in the face, you know, and I'm thinking, this is going to be bad right away, this is going to be bad. But thank God they came out and shook their, may have seen the look in our eyes, but they decided they'd shake hands with us, which was a good thing. But again, it was always men to men, women to women. And by the way, there was an appropriateness even in those days. I want to caution you folks just to be careful. Are you listening to me? Be careful. I've just seen too many tragedies in my life not to take a moment here. I'm not going to try to judge everybody's heart. I know some people are just more huggers by nature and all of that. But I worry when I see somebody in an assembly. I'm going to say this. If you're a man, you just need to keep your hands off the women. You just don't need to keep your hands off the women, okay? If you're a woman, you just need to keep your hands off your man. Now, you can go home and do all the hugging you want to do. And I think that's a good thing. But I've just seen too much. I'm sorry. And, I grew up in a church and our pastor hugged all the women. Well, you know what? That's him. But I'm just telling you, I've seen too many tragedies in my life. And I think that this is not a verse that can defend that. And so we don't want that happening here. But talking about greeting one another. Now, we can spend all the time qualifying this and explaining this, but I don't want to explain it away. Because five different times, you know, if God repeats something five times, it's there for a reason. So let's break it down and take a look at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First of all, it says greet. That's the first word. Now, that greeting, that word greet is a wonderful word. If you study it out, it means to go up and to express a love, or to express affection, or to express an excitement to see another individual. It is our custom in America to either come up and say hello, or stick out our hands, shake hands. I'm all for handshaking. I think that's a great thing. But the Bible says that is our responsibility. Now, get this. Did you get that? It's a command. That means if you walk into the church and you sit down like a bump on the log and you cross your arms and you refuse to go say hi to anybody or greet anybody or shake anybody's hand, you're not doing what the Bible says to do here. You say, I've been to churches where they have ushers, and then they have what they call greeters or hospitality greeters. And I understand their purpose, and I understand why churches have it. But this is what I've always said. If I'm going to have a hospitality greeter or a hospitality committee, I want it to be right here. Y'all are part of it, okay? Everybody ought to be involved in making everybody feel at home at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, that means you have a responsibility, folks. You can't do that, by the way. You cannot spend time obeying this scripture if you come in late every service and leave trampling people over to get out the door every single time we say amen. You do not just come to church to sing. You do not just come to church to hear preaching. You come to church to fulfill responsibilities that you have to other members here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, that's why you ought to get here a little early. Did you hear what I said? I understand there's folks that work, and man, you know what? Thank God some of you make an effort. There's folks right here in this service that have not had supper. They did not eat supper so that they could get here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's folks that come in late because of work. You'll never hear me say boo, but if you can be, you ought to get in the habit of showing up to church early, and you don't have to stay as long as some folks stay. Matter of fact, some of you, I'm wondering sometimes you ought to just bring your sleeping bag. I mean, there's some of you that are streamed the other way. I mean, I've sat in here and flashed the lights and yelled, "Go home, Baptist people, go home." And I kind of like that. I kind of love the fact that you know, we just kind of have three family reunions a week, and we don't get to see each other much any other time, and everybody's running around shaking his hand, catching up on what's going on, and I like that. And it's biblical to do that. Now, folks, of course, you ought to greet all, and then I love this. The first part says greet, and the second phrase in this verse, if you'll look at it, says all the brethren. Now, you know why God put that in there? Because God don't like cliques anymore, and the preacher likes cliques. I can't stand this, us us four and no more mentality in the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, these are my friends. Well, why isn't everyone your friend? Well, I'm just close to them. Well, the Bible says that, yeah, that's fine. I understand there's always going to be folks that are special. There's family. But the Bible does not let you off the hook. It says, greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. Now, I do understand that it's hard sometimes to get around and shake every single hand. I don't ever get it done, I think, in any one service. But the best of your ability, try to grab as many people as you can. And don't always spend time with just the same people. And go out of your way to know, get to know. Well, you know, that one family in the church, I know they've been coming a long time, and I just don't know them very well. Well, folks, that's not their fault. That's your fault. Take the responsibility. Go introduce yourself. You can say after the service, hey, you know what? Pastor just kind of jogged my memory. I told my wife the other day, we need to get to know those folks. So let me introduce ourselves. What's your names again? And man, we're glad that you're here. And just make sure that you spread yourself around. I think that's a healthy situation. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to get somebody mad at me. But I'm going to tell you something. I've just been in this thing a long time. And I don't like it when two couples just become inseparable. I don't like it when three couples just become inseparable. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm just going to tell you. Some of you are so dependent on somebody else for your happiness, you're in trouble. You really are. It's not a wise thing to do. Listen, spread yourself around. Get to know some folks. Get to know some folks that need some friends. Get to know some folks that other people are kind of leaving by the wayside. And if you listen to me, I can help you right then, there. I've seen it all in my time. And I've seen it, you know, you may think, well, there's nothing, okay. But I'm just telling you, I know more than you. And I'm telling you, I'm right on this. And just don't get into this little us, you know, little group and no more. It's unhealthy, and in the long run, it's going to come back and get you. I promise you it will, okay? So greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, and that's talking about going up and expressing your thankfulness that they're here and showing genuine Christian affection, genuine Christian love to them. And I think I've talked about the proper way and the boundaries of that. Now, folks, listen to me. Let me give you the lesson here then on this, and then we'll move on. But that means that every single one of us, if we're going to obey this verse, next Sunday we're going to have our antennas up, we're going to get here a little early, we're going to walk around, we're going to actively reach out to each other and shake hands and learn names and find out. And by the way, always, always, always be sensitive to visitors that God brings in our assembly. Always be aware that God blesses us, and from time to time folks slip in. And you remember how it was, first time you ever went to a church, or maybe you moved to a different area and you had to go to a brand new church and you didn't know anybody, and you walk in the back and you feel like an outsider. Man alive, let's overwhelm folks with the love of God. Let's go let them know, hey, we're glad you're here. Hey, this is my child, and this is my husband, and this is our children, and boy, we're glad. What's your names, and do you live around here? And make people feel friendly. I believe Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be the friendliest church in the Tri-County area. I really mean that. I believe when folks come here, they ought to just be overwhelmed. I mean, I want their arms to be tired by the time they leave. Man, I think I shook 300 hands. That one lady came five times and got me. But honestly, we ought to go out of our way just to make people feel welcome. That is a Christian thing to do, and that is one of the responsibilities of companionship. Now, let me give you the next one, number six. Forbear one another. Forbear one another. Now, go to, if you will, to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, and I want to show you verse number 2. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let me just read verse number 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Notice this. Here's another one, another command. Forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Now, you're going to like this. When I studied this, I was a little shocked at what that word forbear meant. If you've studied it out, it's very interesting. The word means to hold oneself up against, put up with, bear with, endure, forbear, suffer. Say, preacher, what are you saying? It's a Bible command that you just put up with people. You know, instead of going up to someone and say, I love you. Just go up and say, I forbear you. Just want you to know that I forbear you in Christian love. And if they weren't here tonight, they're going to think that's probably something good. You know, oh, you do? Yeah, I do. I forbear you. And, you know, I studied that and I was a little shocked. And then I started laughing and I thought, man, I've obeyed that verse a lot of times and I didn't even know I was obeying it. And come on, don't look so innocent. Don't look so pious out there. You say, preacher, is there people that it's easy to love? Yeah. Are there people? Yeah. Are there people that's hard to love? Yeah. You know, sometimes, folks, you know what you do with a Christian brother or sister? You just put up with them. You just put up with them. You forbear them. listen, I think God trained me for the ministry by keeping me in college for a long time. As best as I could figure, I got a piece of paper out and a pencil, and I tried to write all the names down, but I counted as best I could. With my marathon trip through Bible college, I had 27 different roommates. 27 different roommates. And let me say this, God has a sense of humor. I think every semester or every year, God just brought a whole new crop of whack jobs into my room. So that, and that's probably the testimony they would give today concerning being my roommate. But I had such a variety of different kinds of people and personalities. And I think God said, you're in Bible college. It's time for you to be trained for the ministry. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to start with the roommates you have. You know, one of the prayer requests I pray for all of our college students is one of the things that we ask you to pray for is that the Lord would give them the right roommates. But sometimes what that means to a college student isn't what it means to Almighty God. Honestly, you know, sometimes we want perfect roommates or we want roommates that are just nice and sweet and easy to get along with and all this. I'm going to tell you, if that's all you get the whole time you're in Bible college, you're not being trained for the ministry because all people aren't like that. Okay, we're just going to get real here, okay? I'm going to tell you, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and in other churches, what you're going to find is that God brings all kinds of different people with all kinds of different personalities and all kinds of different backgrounds. And you know what? When you first meet them, it doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to click with every individual that walks in that door. Well, if I don't like them, we should run them out. Shame on you. Shame on you. There's people here that don't like you. Should I run you out? Well, everybody likes me. Boy, you're clueless, aren't you? See, you were in the office griping about somebody else, but you don't know a week ago someone was in the office griping about you. So are you getting this? What I'm saying is, folks, part of being a good Christian is just learning sometimes to put up with people that maybe, you know what, you just don't naturally mesh with. And I thank God for all of the different types of people and personalities at Providence Baptist College, Brother Schwarga. And do you know him? He was my roommate in Bible college. Kevin Albert, the pastor over in Ellettsville, was my roommate in Bible college. There's like 50 or 60 men in the ministry that at one time was my roommate. No, 27 different men was my roommate and in Bible college. Jeff Brady, that pastors over in Missouri, was my roommate. And I started listing all these different names. Some of them were. They were very interesting individuals. Brother Manning was my roommate and a burden to my heart. Let me just say that. And he was a good guy. I didn't like him, but he was a good guy. And I think we had an agreement on that. He didn't like me either, but roommates. And you know what I learned? I learned that, you know what, some of them had funny accents. Some of them had weird backgrounds. Some of them was from the South. God help us. I mean, that's enough to just put you off right there. Some of them were from Kentucky. God help us. I mean, man alive. I mean, now, folks, if someone comes in our church from Kentucky, we might have to get rid of them because there's limitations on everything as far as what you can put up with. But, I mean, folks, what I'm saying is, you know what? You may not naturally mesh with somebody right away. But what I'm saying is this. God says, listen, sometimes, I think God knew us well enough to say, you know what? Sometimes you may not love somebody right away. And you may have differences of opinion or difference of personality. Hey, listen, put up with them. Put up with them. You say, well, how do I do that? That sounds easy. Well, we're not far from there. So go to Colossians chapter 3 and we get some added instruction on this, Colossians chapter number 3, and I'll show you folks why God a lot of times brings people like this into our life. And then I'm going to go to the next one, and I think I'll give you some more things to consider on this subject. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 12. These are wonderful verses. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Why are you going to need all those character traits? Look at the next verse. Forbearing one another, and forgiving one another if any have a quarrel against you. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. You know, why would we need to put on kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering? You know why? Because all those things are going to be challenged in our lives. And usually they're not challenged by circumstances, they're challenged by individuals. And some of the greatest blessings that God can do for you is bring people into your life that hone you and test you. It's easy to talk about being a good Christian. It's another thing to actually have to be a good Christian. And I mean this. I thank God. I've laughed. I've had some fun. But I believe part of the training that God put me through to prepare me for the ministry was to allow me to have interaction with a lot of different people, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different backgrounds, with a lot of different habits. And some of them were absolutely opposite of mine. And you know what? I had to learn to get along. I thank God that at the college I went to, you couldn't just go in, gripe, and get your room changed. You know what they said? Be a good Christian. Learn to deal with it. Learn to live with it. And so, folks, remember that God brings folks into our life. He brings folks into our church sometimes that we have to extend extra grace and extra patience with and extra love towards. And you know what? Sometimes, instead of wanting to do that, we just want them to go away. Well, shame on you. I mean that with all my heart. I don't want them to go away. I want them to be a part of the family here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so God on purpose sends folks into our assembly to test us. And it's easy to talk about being a great Christian, but these are the things that test us and when we don't necessarily right away mesh with somebody. Now, I'm going to take you to another commandment, because I believe it's what transitions you from forbearing someone to loving someone, and that's in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. This is the third one we'll cover tonight. Greet one another. Greet all the brethren. So reach out to everybody. Well, what about the ones that I don't necessarily just hit it off with? Forbear them. But wait a minute, don't just surrender to the fact that you're going to have to put up with somebody the rest of your life, because a lot of times, folks, we want them to change when maybe God's wanting to change something in us. All right, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. Notice this. This comes right before the famous or well-known verse 25, talking about the not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So this is something to help the assembly, help us as we come into the assembly. Verse 24, let us, what's the next word? Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, I'm going to help you with something. If you'll let me have the next 10 minutes or so, you let me really have your heart and teach you something. Yeah, you know what? There's a lot. By the way, when we grow up and we're teenagers and we haven't been out into the world much and we've been kind of with the same people in the same family, whatever, you know what? We kind of just grow up with who we grow up with, so we don't realize that, you know, everybody's normal to us because we've known them all our life. We're taken out of our comfort zone. We're put in somewhere else, and all of a sudden, that's why one of the reasons I say one of the best things you can do when you graduate from Bible college or from high school is just go a year to Bible college. It's not just the Bible college experience; it's the life experience that you get out of it. But all of a sudden, you're taken out of your comfort zone, and you have to meet a lot of new people. And guess what? God grows you a lot just through that experience. What does it mean to consider one another? That word means to observe fully, to behold. To consider, I love this, to discover, to perceive. Did you get that? Let me give it to you again. To observe fully, to behold, to consider, to discover, to perceive. You know what God's saying? God's saying, you know what? At first meeting, you may not mesh with somebody and you may not just click with somebody, and they may have a different type of personality or a different perspective. But before you just throw them on the heat pile, why don't you make a study of them? Why don't you consider them? Why don't you try to figure out why they are the way they are? And you know what? If we would have a little mercy and reach out a little bit and open ourselves up a little bit and reach across some barriers and get to know some people, we would understand them a little bit more and maybe understand why they are in some ways the way they are. I'll go back to my roommates. One of them I didn't mention, I was saving for this point, was Matt Millen. Matt's come down here. Matt's preached at our church. Matt's still to this day a dear, dear friend. Matt came his freshman year to Bible college, and he was one of those guys. I was in my second year. He was in his first year. He's one of those guys that the minute I saw him, I didn't like him. Now, I know that's terrible of me, but I was young, and I did. Just everything about the kid I didn't like. He came into chapel. He came down. Freshman, brand new freshman, sit on the first row. They'd give announcements, and he'd be on the pew waving his Bible, screaming amen. And during the announcements, you know, he everywhere he went, he walked fast. And when you talked to him, he talked too loud. And he had an obnoxious laugh. And I just watch that kid from time to time, and I just look over and I think, oh, that I don't like that kid. I just, you know, I didn't like him. And then I came back for my third year and got my dorm assignment, and I walk into my room, and guess who is standing right in the dorm room with a big old goofy grin on his face and looks at me and says, "Hey, brother, we're roommates this year." I wanted to go slip my wrist. I did. I just thought, I thought, I can't, God, I can't do this. Lord, no, I cannot live in a room with this guy. Not just a room, but to share the same bunk with this guy. I thought, I can't do this. I can't. And for about a month, all he did was irritate me. I tried to stay out of the room. Every time he talked to me, I would just answer when I had to. I just, you know, walked around with a martyr syndrome. And honestly, after about a month, I fell under Holy Spirit conviction about the way I was treating this young man. I don't know when it was. Probably a message. Thank God for Bible messages. Thank God for Bible preaching. You ever had somebody preach something and we get them coming out of here? We've got a new couple coming. They came out and stepped at the door last Sunday, and the wife says, "Do you have our house bugged?" She's just as serious as she could be. Me and my husband keep looking at each other during the message saying, "He's got our house bugged. He knows what's going on in our house." And I felt that way that day. I remember, boy, I don't know who preached it. I don't remember the message. I just remember that the invitation. I walked to the front, got on my knees, and said, "God, you know what? You don't make mistakes. And I have not been a very good Christian towards this young man. And you know what? Me and him, just our personalities aren't. But that's no excuse. God, help me. Help me to reach out to him. Help me to try to be a blessing." You know, I told Tabitha this. When she went her freshman year, she was talking about her roommates. I said, "Honey, I'm praying too, and I pray you got good roommates." And she did. She got great roommates last year. She got great roommates this year. God's been good to her. But I told her this. I said, "No matter who your roommates are," I said, "I want you to look around the campus. After you've been here 2 or 3 weeks and you settle in, look around the campus. Find some girl that just doesn't look like she fits anywhere. Find some girl that maybe just didn't get much training at home. Find some girl that maybe just come from a bus route and save maybe an unsaved family. Find somebody like that, and you reach out to them, and you learn them, and you befriend them. And by the way, you learn them well enough that if they have some real needs, you don't make them public. You call me and Mom, and we want to help her. If you'll find a girl like that, and if we can, we want to help her." What were you trying to teach her? Is that, you know what, the easiest thing to do is to run to everybody that's got the same background, the same likes, the same dislikes, the same opinions as you, and just put yourself in that little comfort zone and never reach out of that, and everybody else is weird but us. But that's not fair, and it's not right. I began to talk to Matt, and I'd say, "Hey, let's eat lunch today." And I start saying, tell me about, where'd you go to church? Well, he started telling me about being saved on the bus ministry. And one of 11 kids or 12 kids, I can't remember, and told me stories. And I began to figure some things out. You know what? I noticed finally when I opened my stupid eyes up a little bit, some of the guys made fun of him because he wore the same suit every day. You know why? He only had one suit. Someone made fun of him because the way he tied his tie. You know why? It's the only way he knew how to tie it. And to be honest with you, he was lazy. I can tell you some nasty things about the guy. I've got the goods on him. He was. Everybody else would get up on Saturday and go soul winning. He'd sleep in. He'd go out and do the minimum he had to do. And here he is waving his Bible during a soul winning message. And I'd be going, well, hey, wait a minute. Who's going to take him? Who's going to train him? Nobody wants him as a bus worker. And I finally said, hey, listen, why don't you work on my bus route? You want to start working on my bus route? And you know what? He was just glad to be wanted. You know, folks, listen to me. When I listened to Matt tell about his upbringing, it was like listening to my dad tell about his upbringing. There aren't too many people my age group that grew up with an outhouse. But Matt did. They didn't have indoor water till he was 14 years old. That's like my dad's story. You know what, folks? Not everybody has the same advantages in life. Not everybody gets the same head starts. Not everybody comes from a loving, functional family. Are you getting this? And just to say, well, they're weird. You know, stop that. The Bible, listen, yeah, sometimes we have to put up with people, but I think that that's more our problem than their problem. If we would learn to consider people and study people and get to know people, all of a sudden God changed that disdain I felt for him to an understanding, a spiritual discernment and insight as to, you know why he walked so fast? He was nervous all the time. You know why he tried so hard even though he didn't know what to do? He told me one time, he said, Brother Jerry, he said, I tried to go to the Christian school for a while, and he said, you know what, I didn't fit in there. And he said, finally, a man teacher pulled me out in the hallway, and he said, Millen, let me just tell you something. If you want to waste everybody's money that's put you through this Christian school, his parents couldn't afford it. Somebody else paid his way. If you want to waste everybody's money that's putting you through this Christian school, then go ahead and let them waste it. But I'm going to tell you right now, you aren't going to amount to anything. Christian school teacher told him that. And, this kid's playing catch-up. This kid's just there trying to prove some school teacher wrong. You know, he's just trying to figure it out. And here I am to be blessed to be in a Christian home from the time I was 5 years of age, and my dad surrendered to the ministry and be raised in a ministry situation, a good solid church, good solid loving family, and I walk in and I want to look down my nose at somebody like that. You know what? There was nothing wrong with him. There was something wrong with me. Now, let me just help you in life. You got to learn to study people. Instead of just deciding you don't like them, why don't you figure out why they are the way they are, and why don't you befriend them? Why don't you learn a little bit about them? You might figure some things. And by the way, if you had the same disadvantages they had, you'd probably be the same person they are. Matter of fact, maybe you wouldn't even be in church. Now, I'm talking to a handful of you little spoiled brats that have had every advantage in the world, and you want to sneak around and be a heathen all the time. Here's somebody that doesn't have any advantage, and they're trying the best they can, and you look down at them, they don't have a problem, you've got a problem. Now, what I'm saying is, listen, just decide. This is why, hey, when you decide, the Bible says to love one another, I'm going to love that person. It says to prefer one another, that means I'm going to go ahead of them in the areas that I can lead, and I'm going to make things easier on them. The Bible says to admonish one another, yeah, I'm going to go to them in love, gently, cautiously, reminding them things. But by the way, don't try to admonish somebody that you haven't loved first. I said, don't try to admonish someone that you haven't loved first. It don't work. Some of you don't want to love anybody, and you don't want to help anybody, but you want to straighten out everybody. It don't work. If you haven't proved to them how much you love them, they're not going to be receptive to your criticism, whether it's constructive or not. So love them first, and then forgive them, and then greet them, and then forbear them if you have to. But the best thing is to study them and consider them and learn them. And you know what? You're going to figure out a lot of things. Now, when I figured out who Matt was, And I figured out why he was the way he was, and I figured out some of the things that he was struggling with in life. I was in a perfect position as his roommate to reach out, and I don't mean with an air of superiority. I mean as a friend, and help him through some things. You know what? I taught that boy how to tie his tie. I taught that boy how to shine his shoes. He wore one of my suits after I took it to the seamstress and had him adjust the hem, because he's a short little sawed-off thing. And are you getting this? And you know what? You can sit around and judge everybody in the world, or you can figure out that maybe God's put him in your life so that he can make you a little more intelligent, a little more caring, and give you an opportunity to help somebody that genuinely needs some help. And you know what? I learned, again, I've learned, thank God, I learned things at Bible college in the classroom, and thank God I learned Bible college some things in the bus ministry, and I learned a ton of things, more than I learned anywhere else, just sitting under good preaching. But you know what? I learned a lot of things just being a roommate. And you'd be surprised what you can learn just being a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love the fact that we've got a bus ministry. I love the fact that on any given Sunday, you know what? You're going to have everything from soup to nuts, and more nuts than soup. And you know what? They're welcome here. They're welcome here. There are no big shots here. No, if you think you are, come see me afterwards. I'll let you know you're not. No big shots here. No, there are no perfect people here. You know, we're all on a journey. I may or may not be a little farther down the road than you are, and you may or may not be a little farther out, but we're all on a journey. Nobody's arrived. Nobody's got anywhere. We're all learning. We're all growing. And, you know, if you have been given some advantage, you know some things, instead of going and using it to criticize people, why don't you use it to help somebody? And use godly wisdom in doing it. Consider their feelings. Consider their insecurities. Do it in such a way that doesn't bring embarrassment to them. And just love people. And you know what? When you get, now think about this. What I'm presenting here, if this actually clicked, and we had an entire congregation in one church that said, these are my biblical responsibilities to every single person that walks in that door, I'm going to tell you, we could create something that I'm not sure exists on this planet. I think there's people floating in and out of churches all over the world just looking for what I'm describing, and they can't find it anywhere. And then we want to say, well, they left because they don't like our strict stand. No, sometimes they don't like the fact we're jerks. Amen. We can just say amen right there. Amen. They don't like being looked down on. They don't like your uppity attitude. They don't like you shook four people's hands and then stopped when you came to them and wandered off. Shame on us. And I don't think we've got that here. I don't know. I think we can all do better. But what I'm saying is, listen, folks, that's what the church is. The church is a growing organism. The body of Jesus Christ that reaches across the aisle and helps and encourages and loves and puts up with some time, but takes the time to consider and try to be a blessing and a help and bring somebody along. Now let me say this, folks. I told you the story about Matt Millen, but I promise you, when I came to Bible college as a freshman, there were so many things I didn't know. And I looked like some hillbilly from Greene County. And there were some kind upperclassmen that just taught me some things that I needed to know to sharpen me up and get me ready for the ministry. And they didn't do it in a mean, caustic way. They mentored me and helped me in some areas of my life. And you know what? So I've been on the receiving end, and I've been on the giving end, and I want to spend the rest of my life, hopefully from time to time, being on the receiving end. But if it never happens again, I want to be on the giving end when it comes to this. Now just love people. Just love people. I mean, just decide you're going to love them. And, well, I don't get along with that person. Why don't you just on purpose go build a friendship with somebody that you don't normally and naturally get along with? You might be shocked how much you grow through that experience. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for these words of admonition. The Lord, help us, dear God, as we study the Scriptures together. Help us, Lord, to become more and more what we ought to be, what we can be, what we should be. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that as a local assembly, we're a good representation, Lord, a good representative of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed Oak Baptist Church, that's the Church of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I would pray that you would help us to be reflective of that. Ah, Lord, if I could take our group back, if I could just go and follow you around, Lord, while you were here on earth, if I could get into some kind of a time machine and go back and just be another disciple that followed you around and watched you, I believe if we just followed you for a day, we'd learn more about reaching out to people and loving people and caring about people and helping people than maybe 1,000 sermons could teach us. Lord, you've given us the Scripture. You've given us the Word of God. Lord Jesus Christ, you've used the title of the Word. So when we study the Word, we're studying you. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to learn Christ's likeness here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord. And we do pray for each and every one. You've blessed us, Lord, in so many ways. So many good folks here. Lord, folks visiting and folks, Lord, even this past week, so many visitors. Lord, I want to reach out to them. I want to be a blessing to them. Lord, I'm one man. I can't do it all. Help us, Lord, as a church, just to decide, Lord, we're going to reach people. We're going to love people. Use this, Lord, to help us, we pray in Jesus' name.